Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Feels like Monday, doesn't it, to a lot of folks? But hey, we were here yesterday, so it's day two of The Drive this week. Hope everybody, if you weren't able to be with us, even if you were, hope everybody had a great Labor Day weekend and enjoyed the time off, if you got some time off, and enjoy the football. It was fun. The first full weekend of college football wrapping up last night with Duke spanking the Clemson Tigers 28-7, a ball game that was 7-6 at the half. Clemson leading, and Clemson, you know, had opportunities to score a lot more points early on. You know, I sort of got the feeling that I'd seen something similar to that just the day before, because the Clemson-Duke game reminded me of the LSU-Florida State game. Competitive first halves, and you're thinking, man, if the Tigers would just stop shooting themselves in the foot, they've got a really good chance. And then second half, just dominated by Florida State in LSU's case, and Duke dominating Clemson in the second half. We'd love your thoughts on any of the games over the weekend. We'll take a look at the top 25, which is out. And as we get ready for another big weekend of college football, turned out obviously a big weekend for the Pac-12. Hey, it's their final season, but they're going out, at least they've started off, very strong. And they'll look to keep that up this week as Cal will be hosting the Auburn Tigers. We'll talk about that. Yesterday we had a little time with Coach Hugh Freeze, and today there is a viewing window. So Dan will be at the viewing window. He's going to be checking in here momentarily. We'll get Dan's thoughts on last night and viewing window. He should be joining me here in the studio. Meanwhile, Andy Burcham, our normal Tuesday guest, texted a little bit ago, and he's got a meeting going on right now. Depending on, you know, how long that meeting goes, we should be hearing from him at some point in the second half here of hour number one. But in the meantime, the phone lines are open. Hour number one of The Drive, brought to you as usual by Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And they're also the sponsor of our hotline. And we'd love for you to join us on that hotline. The number is 334-321-1390. You can also text us on The Drive text box, which is sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And that number is 334-564-1840. So, yes, anything you want to talk about? We got Dan? Okay, let's head to Skype. And we'll bring in Dan Peck, who's getting ready for the media viewing window over at the complex here in just a little while. Dan, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, just pulling into media parking here on campus. It's a gorgeous day. We had some... If I recall, we had some weather issues last week on Tuesday, and they did it from the indoor.
Yep.
I
not
wonder
today.
If we'll be. I mean, I'm thinking we'll be in the sunshine today because it is a gorgeous day on campus. Bill, what are you if you were going to this thing, what would you be looking out for? The injured players who missed Saturday's game and whether or not they were more active in today's practice, rotations maybe tightening up at a couple of spots. What do you think?
No, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, the guys, you want to look wonder about the receivers that weren't out there. Jair Shorter, Nick Mardner. Obviously, wonder, you know, is Jarquez running with the first team today? We don't know, and I guess we won't know until there's word of who made the travel squad. as to whether he will be available on Saturday. Nehemiah Pritchett, I think, is very important as well. This Cal team with their backup quarterback threw for over 300 yards on Saturday. So you want, as you know, you hope everybody is as healthy as they can be as Auburn heads cross country.
Yeah, I think these two offenses profile as very similar. And I know people would think, oh, well, Auburn's out-recruited Cal over the last few years. Why would the offense? I mean, there's been so much turnover with the rosters and the coaching staffs. Now you've got Jake Spavital, who's a it's amazing how deep the connections are with Gus and
Brian Harsin
and Chad Morris with the former Texas State coach, who's now the head coach, who's now the offensive coordinator at Cal. His offense had 95 plays on Saturday against North Texas. So yeah, this is a dangerous Cal offense. Auburn's defense will need to play well, or they could be in early trouble against this group. Now it could also, you know, it could also be the case that the defense Cal faced on Saturday isn't as talented as Auburn at a bunch of key spots, and they won't be able to enjoy similar success. I think about last year, and remember what a juggernaut Western Kentucky was offensively leading into the Auburn game, and then you saw them against Auburn, and they just didn't have the horses to keep up with Auburn. I wonder, you know, there's a jump from Group of Five defense to SEC defense. Maybe that was, you know, some of Cal's success, but I wouldn't write it all, you know, I wouldn't attribute all of it to the fact that they played a Group of Five team. I think this is a good and dangerous Cal offense that Auburn needs to be ready for.
Yeah, you know, it's a Cal team that last year was 4-8, but they were close. I mean, they were close in a few ball games. I know that doesn't count. It's not horseshoes. But, I mean, a lot of times you see teams that play close, if they can get some confidence, that they'll make that next step. And, of course, they've got to be feeling pretty good about themselves now after laying 58 on North Texas this past week and then coming home and having a team that's going to be coming, you know, all the way across country into their place to play late Saturday night.
Yeah, the conditions, you know, it being at home and it being as late as it is, you know, that seems to favor Cal. Weird things happen in those late Saturday night games. We've been watching college football long enough to know that's a scary place to be as a road team or as a favorite. Auburn is both of those things. And so, you know, they got to be on alert for that. But you would think Auburn has, I mean, just player for player, a more talented two deep, and they could lean on that. But Texas is Cal after playing at North Texas, like this Cal team is, I mean, they're confident, and I feel like they've changed enough to think just like Auburn does. Last year is irrelevant, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're not what you were last season anymore. And for Cal, maybe there's something drastically different than they were last season with a new offensive coordinator and a lot of new skill players contributing.
Yeah, we've talked about some of the advantages of being able to turn over the roster and be more talented, which Auburn definitely is. But then on the other hand, it's not a bad thing if you feel like you have some talent and can bring it back. They've got more guys that have played together. Auburn has a lot of players who've only been playing together for about a month, and they're still trying to get things to click. So we'll see. But, yeah, out there at the viewing window, I would say rotations there on the offensive line. Linebacker, I think, is very important to keep an eye on. And then the injured players, I think that'll probably be the main would be the main thing. What were you thinking about before you go?
Let me ask you this. Is there anywhere – you know, we saw the starting lineup against UMass. Is there anywhere you think Auburn could make a change in that starting lineup from what we saw against UMass to what we'll see on Saturday against Cal? I mean, I guess the obvious one would be if Pritchett can go, he'll step in for Kay and Lee.
Yeah, that's probably the main one because, I mean, the other thing is the offensive, the starting lineup that we got last week and the starting lineup that was announced weren't necessarily the guys who went out there first. So, I mean, I understand what Hugh Freeze is talking about. It's not so much who goes out there first, it's who plays the most. And
I still think you could announce the first lineup out there offensively.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that during warmups you go, hey, from the way they're warming up, I think we ought to adjust.
I should also point out that Jarquez Hunter could be a difference. Jarquez, if he's active this weekend, you know, he'd be in the starting lineup presumably.
Sure.
Although I don't know for sure, but I would guess.
Oh, I would. Jarquez, I would be very surprised if he weren't. Able to go, and we just don't know whether he's going to be there on the trip.
If this were a health thing, you'd think maybe they'd want to ease him back in, but this seems to be, and we're speculating because nothing's been confirmed. Hugh Freeze has no comment on this when it comes up, but when we're speculating that it's disciplinary in nature, and you know, again, we're not going to know about Jarquez until maybe there will be reports about whether or not he travels with the team. I think if he stays home, either way, I think people will will be word about that. And then Saturday, we'll see if he's active.
Yeah. Now that's two of the three, I think, that you really want to be looking for today. We mentioned Nehemiah Pritchett and Jarquez Hunter. I would say Jalen McLeod is the other one you really want to look at. I mean, Auburn got some push last week, but they still could use that extra burst from the edge. And that's something we've heard about Jalen. Obviously, haven't had much chance to see it since he didn't get to go, and we weren't able to watch the scrimmages.
And Jake Spavital is somebody who's not afraid to throw the football a ton.
No.
So you might need pass rushers to be on alert this Saturday night. So yeah, McLeod is another one that Auburn. I'm sure Auburn would love to get him active and back in the lineup for Saturday's game against Cal. But that's a I'll be looking for that too, because I wonder if I was surprised to see him inactive based on some of the stuff we'd heard. I wonder if maybe he could have gone in a bigger game this past Saturday, but we'll see if McLeod's able to practice today and go this weekend.
Before you run over there, your thoughts on last night's one-sided second half? Man, a domination in the second half, Clemson. Reminded me of LSU. Looked like they were ready to go home there in the fourth quarter.
Shout out to I should have checked this before I shout him out, but Trooper Taylor is on that Duke staff, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And
I thought he was. Shout out to Troop. You know, if he was very recently. If he's not still there, I thought Trooper was still there at Duke.
I believe he is. One thing I do know is that Fairhope product Riley Leonard looked pretty good last night, didn't he? The guy who was coached by our old friend Tim Carter.
Yeah, you know, and I always liked Mike Elko, and Taylor Trooper is at Duke. Yeah. By the way, he's a running backs coach at Duke right now.
They've got a couple of pretty good running backs too.
Yeah, well, it's not surprising. They got some talent at the skill positions with Trooper Taylor on staff. But Mike Elko was a good hire. When he got poached away from A&M, I wonder if he'll be a popular name at A&M if things start to go south on their staff while he wins at Duke.
He'll be a popular name in a lot of places. I've already seen some rumblings today that Florida fans are pining for Mike Elko.
I was about to mention that Florida people may notice what Mike Elko is doing at Duke as well. But that's Florida's had success going and getting a Duke coach before, so maybe they'll take a look at Mike Elko. But really, and it's a lot of it is credit to Duke. That second half was remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the story is Clemson, right? Like that. I mean, Pat Forty wrote earlier today, Duke didn't even play that well, and pulled away from Clemson in the opening game of the season. I mean, it is shocking the difference between what we saw last night and the Trevor Lawrence team.
What you expect to see from Clemson. Yeah, Dabo Swinney just seemed, you know, confused and a little, you know, he was sort of dazed and confused, it seemed like.
Well, he wasn't the only confused person watching that game. So, I mean, that's
Yeah, but he's the coach. He's not supposed to be.
Yeah, he's supposed to have more answers than us. And I just what a mess after 1 week. Now things can change, but that is a bad start to what was supposed to be a season where Clemson returns to its recent standards.
No question about it. 334-321-1390. Dan, I'll tell you what, Dan, you can go ahead and head over there and get ready. I've got a call or two here, so You're gonna be able to swing by after practice.
Yeah, I'm gonna make it. I'll be in the studio when they let us out of the practice. I'll drive right over.
Sounds good. Talk to you in a little while.
See you guys later in the second hour.
All right. Tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and get to our first break. Again, Andy Burcham should be joining us sometime around the bottom of
and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill here in the studio, Drew at the controls, Dan about to check out Auburn football practice before he comes into the studio. And let's go ahead and head to the Kia of Auburn hotline. Again, that number 334-321-1390. And Yellowhammer gets us going. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon, Bill. So I want to talk about two stories that may turn out. This is a may mm-hmm. turn out as the stories of the year in a way, because one of them involves Auburn, a 180-degree turnaround rocket launch out of the bottom. And so then that's a big story. But even as just as astounding, maybe even more so, is how Deion Sanders took a team that with only 10 guys returning from last year
yes.
and went out and beat the team that was in the national championship game.
At their place, took a team that was terrible last year in Colorado, brought in over 80 new faces, and took them on the road.
Those are some good faces.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, that is the story right now in college football. That, along with the shocking losses by LSU and Clemson, are probably the three biggest stories.
Because I was talking to you a month ago about, and you were saying, okay, the three top teams are Georgia, Alabama, and LSU, and like that was like a giant flop. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
I didn't see the game.
Well, I still think they're the three most talented teams in the SEC.
One game does not show
It's tough. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think a team has played in the playoff that lost its first game. But there's still a long way to go.
Well, I follow LSU a whole lot more than I do Clemson. I don't know what happened there, but Duke's kind of been coming on a little bit.
Mike Elko and Duke won 9 games a year ago, and they did not look far inferior talent wise the way a lot of folks would have you believe. When you just looked at those teams last night, they looked pretty much as athletic as Clemson, who has had the far superior ranked recruiting classes.
Well, it should be some seismic shifts going on out there.
Well, let me tell you, the transfer portal has had a lot to do with that, but you also see coaching or lack. I mean, it's one thing. Dabo Swinney has been against the transfer portal. He is very much against NIL. And, I'm sure there are quite a few coaches that aren't crazy about those things, but you don't need to come out against them publicly, because that's not good for your ability to land top talent.
Well, he may have been cutting his own throat there.
May have been.
Okay, well, thanks.
Appreciate the call, Yellowhammer. 334-321-1390. The polls sort of representing what we've seen. Florida State into the top 5 in both the coaches and the AP poll. They're 5 in the coaches poll, 4 in the AP. You've got Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, 1, 2, 3 in both. Ohio State is 4 in the coaches poll. And with Florida State 5, you flip that in the AP. As far as SEC teams, Tennessee is 9 in both polls. Next is LSU at 14 in both polls. And then you go on down to Ole Miss. And, wow, I'm surprised. They're exactly the same in both polls. Ole Miss at 20. And then Texas A&M are at 23. So the polls aren't exactly the same, but they're very, very close as far as where SEC teams are in both of them. Let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. How hard or how much of a chuckle do you think that quarterback that transferred from Clemson last year, DJ, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his last name.
Uyunglele. Yeah.
Okay. Excuse you.
Really? I was proud of that, though. I think I got it right the first time.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
You nailed it. Did you think he had a little bit of chuckle out of last night?
Yeah, considering he goes 20 for 25 his first time out. And
he was pretty much ran
Klubnik,
off.
Klubnik is a, you know, he's an athletic guy. That was a couple of boneheaded decisions on his part, including the one, and I don't know that I've ever seen a call like that targeting dead ball call last night, but he didn't know where the first down marker was. If he had dived for the first down, he would have gotten it and probably would have at least given them a chance to see what they could do. That pretty much nailed it for him last night.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if some recruits start Xing Clemson off their list a little bit, quite honestly.
Well, you look at a few teams. I mean, we talked yesterday. I mean, Florida. Who was the other one we were talking about? South Carolina. Florida, South Carolina, and Clemson now. For all the hype that they had coming in. Now, Florida maybe didn't have the hype, but Billy Napier's, the best thing he has done has been recruit at Florida. Losing's not going to be able to help him continue to recruit.
No, it's going to count. And I'm going to be the first one to ask this. I know it's going to be asked multiple times during the week. Everybody's talking about Auburn running the ball at California, just smash-mouthing them. I still think there's something lacking in the passing game. I'd like to see more of that. But why no mention of Jaquez Hunter? Do you think he served his suspension and it's over with, or – It's just kind of wait and see.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we're really going to get an idea. Just because he practices today or something isn't going to mean anything because he's been practicing. I think we'll know better if someone can check the team when they lands and see if when it lands and see if he's there with the team. If he's with the team, I would think he's going to be eligible to play. If he's not with the team, then we'll know. But
already walks out of the tunnel in Chad's uniform.
Yeah. He was there Saturday and he was just wearing, just had the jersey and some pants on.
Right.
So I don't think you take him when you're limited, with your travel squad, you don't take him if he's not eligible to play. But no, I agree with you. I think there are quite a few things in the passing game that Auburn did not show this past Saturday. Now, Hugh Freeze was not thrilled with all the decision-making by Peyton Thorne. He said he made three bad decisions and said you need to be, if not 100%, you need to be really close to it. And he's talking about RPO, that there were three times when it was either it should have been a run and he threw it, or it should have been a pass and he ran it. And those are the kind of things, especially when you see big plays, the quarterback's got to be able to make that. But in addition to that, I think there are some things they just held back. There's some guys that we didn't see much of, if really see them at all, that I think they're holding back and seeing how it works against Cal.
Well, I think the defense was pretty basic, too, to be honest. So
it was.
Anyway, Bill, appreciate it. Have a great day.
Appreciate the call, Terry. 334-321-1390. Yeah, it was pretty vanilla both ways. Now, some things are definitely going to have to get ironed out. I mean, that's one of the things that Coach Freeze was really on and on yesterday, was about alignment and assignment. An assignment, being aligned right, guys, knowing where to be pre-snap and then getting there. And that's something that they'll have to do against Cal. This Cal team, again, I don't know that they're loaded with stars, but they look very sound fundamentally. I mean, they've been doing this now for a little while. Justin Wilcox has been there for a few years. So they understand what they're supposed to be doing, and they'll get lined up right. And that's a big start. People think, that sounds so basic. But now that's very important that you do that. And again, it'll be interesting to see if their starting quarterback's able to come back, because, like I said, their backup went 24 for 34 for 279 yards, I believe. So that's not bad for a backup. All right, we're going to get to our bottom of the hour break. Andy is done with his meeting, and we will check in with the voice of the Auburn Tigers when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive.
211-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Drew here in the studio. And we're going to head to the Kia of Auburn hotline. Welcome in the voice of the Auburn Tigers, and that's Andy Burcham. Andy, how are you doing today?
Bill, I'm doing well, thank you. good to be with you on this. I wish I were in the studio, but we had meetings here, so.
Oh, I understand how that goes. I understand how that is. I'm glad you could make a little time for us, because what an impressive, man, the atmosphere, everything, the whiteout, the atmosphere. What a great day it was Saturday over at Jordan-Hare.
Well, we caught a break on the weather, first and foremost.
Beautiful.
Thankfully for that. And then I just thought, you know, I mean, listen, there's always going to be some glitches for every game when you have that many people in one spot. But I thought the atmosphere was terrific. I thought Auburn played well enough in that game. I didn't notice any major injuries. I don't know, Bill, I can't remember a time where I saw the injury tent up.
No, I don't think it went up, Andy. I mean, Auburn had a few guys that didn't play,
right.
But I don't think I didn't notice anybody even being helped off. I saw Peyton Thorne one time, you know, after a hit early, sort of flexing the left shoulder a little bit, but it was nothing that it looked like he even needed to get attended.
Didn't seem like it had a problem when he threw that ball down the seam to Jay Fair.
No kidding.
He had some time to throw that. Now, that's how you draw it up. But I thought, for all intents and purposes, it was a terrific opening day for Auburn. And now you get ready for a very tough trip to the West Coast against a team that I think some folks are underestimating in this Cal ball club that Auburn faces on Saturday night.
Oh, I agree. I mean, 58 points on the road at North Texas. I know North Texas is not a household name, but they're a team that is not I mean, they're accustomed to going bowling. And, you know, Auburn's got a couple of players that came from North Texas, and Larry Nixon and Jair Shorter. So it's a team that has a pretty proud tradition there, and Cal just went in and spanked them with a backup quarterback.
379 yards on the ground, 312 yards total in passing, 669 yards in total offense. As you mentioned, Bill, primarily with a backup quarterback. Sam Jackson, the fifth, the transfer from TCU, went out of the ballgame early in the second half with an injured right shoulder. Now, whether he plays against Auburn Saturday night, I'm not sure that has been determined or at least revealed to us at this point. But they had another quarterback that had transferred in by the name of Ben Finley, transfer from North Carolina State, who went 24-34 for 279 yards, threw a touchdown, threw a pick. And he was very, very good. But like Auburn, this Cal team is a run team first. And Cal's stud tailback is a sophomore by the name of Jaden Ott, who is a freshman All-American last year. He led the Pac-12 in freshman in rushing the football, ran for 897 yards last year on 170 carries, and this past week had his second-best game in a Cal uniform, rushing for 188 yards and two touchdowns. And then, oh, by the way, Isaiah Afonso had three touchdowns running in that game. I mean, they, like Auburn, used four or five different tailbacks in that game. And I was impressed with Auburn's run game, considering it did not have Jarquez Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say that Cal ran the ball incredibly well last week against North Texas. And as you mentioned, that game was on the road in Denton.
Yeah, and Justin Wilcox yesterday, well, I guess it was today. Yeah, today saying that Jackson's, he wouldn't really talk about his status, but he did say he's running around out there at practice. So that sounds like he definitely is a possibility for Saturday night.
Well, they're both on my spotting board. I'll be ready for either of them, including Fernando Mendoza, their third-string quarterback, if he comes in the ballgame as well.
Well, this a team in Cal that was 4-8 last year, but they lost some close games last year. And boy, you look around, and what a great start for a league that's about to be a non-entity in the Pac-12. They got off to a great start this opening weekend.
Well, and for Cal, I mean, what was it announced the day before that opener in North Texas that they're going to the ACC?
Right.
Was it Friday that was revealed?
Mm-hmm.
after all of the speculation? That didn't seem to bother Cal. Maybe it, I don't know. I don't know if it played a factor in that game at all. But, yeah, I mean, the Pac-12 had a really good first game, first weekend. And I think everyone felt that this is a good league, as long as it stays together. So in its last year, don't sleep on the Pac-12 in any sport, including football, right off the bat. That's to be sure.
No, no question about it. Let's talk a little more about what we saw Saturday from Auburn. I don't think we saw everything in the playbook on either side. I thought it was fairly vanilla. I mean, Auburn did a few things. Donovan Kaufman, I thought, really showed that he enjoys coming from the edge there a little bit. Man, he made some really impressive plays in the backfield, but they didn't do a lot fancy on either side of the ball.
No, and I'm glad that they didn't. I'm glad that they didn't have to. Let's put it that way.
Right.
In the game on Saturday, they're really, other than UMass's opening drive defensively, which was impressive, and they matched Auburn's drive. And then whatever adjustment that Auburn made from a defensive standpoint, and whether it was bringing more pressure off the edges with its linebackers and its secondary, that seemed then to nullify the run game for the most part and the passing game. I thought Auburn got good pressure on Tyson Pumachon last week. And other than that first drive, I thought the Auburn's defense performed well. You have to be impressed with the way Eugene Asante played. He led Auburn with six tackles. I love the way that Donovan Kaufman played. Jalen Simpson with a fumble recovery and a 50-yard pick six in the game. I love the way that Griffin Speaks continues to move into rotation at safety. The former Auburn High School quarterback who transferred in from Baylor and continues to get more and more playing time for the Tigers. Did not have Nehemiah Pritchett in the opening game, and that's one of Auburn's cover corners, you'd have to say, at this point. That didn't seem to bother the Tigers this past week. You listen to Hugh Freeze yesterday. He was not thrilled with the play of the defensive line, especially in its alignment. Now, listen, I'm watching the ball and calling the game, so I didn't notice the misalignments and that type of thing. It's probably something I'll pay more attention to this week just because of what Hugh Freeze said yesterday about the guys up front. I thought they did a pretty good job after that opening drive of stopping the run, in spite of the fact that they may have been lined up wrong a couple times.
Well, I really thought, well, when I asked him the question about the defensive line, I think he was talking more about, I think it was more the linebackers who may have been misaligned. The defensive line, he wasn't thrilled with the fact that they weren't getting off blocks, that they weren't able to get the guys' hands off them and things like that. But linebackers, I think that's a position that we really need to keep an eye on, because first of all, I don't know that they're as healthy as they would like there at the linebacker spot. And then they've got some guys that, you know, are still learning the system. And this is a system that Ron Roberts has talked about. His defense, he says, is linebacker driven.
Well, and it's a linebacking crew that for 3 years had Owen Papo leading the charge too, and for the first time in a while, Owen's not back there at the linebacking spot. So yeah, somebody's got to step up now. Alignments aside, I thought Eugene Asante had a
I did too.
He was a disruptor.
You noticed him. That's the thing.
Absolutely.
Some of the other linebackers, I just didn't notice. And
right. And
you would hope that you would notice them, because you would hope they'd be making a lot of tackles.
Well, that's the way it's designed. That's not the way it always happens, although Asante was the one that led Auburn with six tackles. I mean, Zion Puckett, you know, is a guy that we mentioned coming up from that weak safety spot for Auburn. I thought Keontae Scott had a really good all-around game, not just playing the star, but I thought his return game was
special.
It really was.
That makes special teams special.
When there were that one time where the ball bounced over his head and he caught it over his shoulder and then returned it, that caused me to catch my breath a little bit. And then Brian Battee taking the opening kickoff 7 yards deep in the end zone and bringing it out was a little bit of a surprise. But I thought Auburn's return game was really, really good on Saturday. And it may have been that, you know, you're like, wow, I didn't think we'd do that, but I thought it was good on Saturday. If Auburn's return game continues that all season long, somebody's going to bust a couple before this season's out.
Oh, you're not kidding. I mean, Auburn, they came close a couple of times Saturday. Those two guys, And they've got some other players, too, that could help out. But, I mean, those are the two primary guys in Batie and Keontae. I mean, those they're going to bust some. They right. are the type, though, that will make you you'll take that deep breath before they get going. But it almost seemed, you know, I felt like it almost spurred UMass. Their returner went, well, I'll do that, and Auburn tackled him at the 11-yard line.
Right. No, that's a very good point, Bill, and I think that's something perhaps that we get used to with this return game this season. It'll be interesting to see if Auburn uses that same kind of philosophy in its return game this week on the road.
No question. Can you stick with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We'll get to our final break. We'll continue our talk with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, as we continue here on the Tuesday Drive.
Attention,
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. It's Bill and Drew while Dan is over checking out football practice. Hugh Freeze allowing the media to watch practice once again this week. And that's great, something we hadn't had the opportunity to do over the last few years until Coach Freeze got here. So Dan will be back in the studio following that and let us know what he sees over there. In the meantime, we've got the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, here with us on the drive, actually on the phone here this afternoon. Andy, before we talk a little more about the performance this past weekend and looking ahead to Cal, got some clarity on a question that we were asking yesterday, and I'd text you. A few folks had asked me about the Auburn Football Review, and the Auburn Football Review is no more, but Auburn Football Every Day will be available for fans.
Yeah, it's going to be more of a magazine, behind-the-scenes look. There will be some game action and more features. I've not seen this week's edition yet. I'm not sure that it's been put to bed, so to speak. So I'm looking forward, like a lot of folks, of getting a look at what this is going to look like with regard to the new format. Or the Auburn Football Every Day, or whatever they're going to call it at this point. I've got to do some work for it tomorrow.
Yeah, I believe it is Auburn Football Every Day. Kirk had sent out the info last night following the show. And so it'll be an opportunity for folks to sort of see what's going on behind the scenes, the preparations, the practice, things like that leading up to the game, and include some of that as well. And what I was a little confused about is, yes, it's going to be available. Different outlets will have it at different times, sometime between Thursday and Saturday. The primary outlet, I believe, is Bally Sports South and Sports Southeast.
I think folks will also be able to tune in on eventually on YouTube TV.
Good.
As well.
That's good.
Not on the YouTube channel on your computer, not necessarily YouTube.
Right, YouTube, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good, because folks were just wondering about that.
Sure.
I know there were people going, yeah, I want to see more than just the replay of the game. So that'll be an opportunity for them to do that.
You will have that opportunity moving forward. So looking forward to it.
That is good to know. All right, we talked mostly about the defense. Let's go to the other side. I mean, the offensive side of the ball was very interesting on Saturday, and we might as well start with the topic that everybody talks about, and that's the quarterbacks. And my goodness, Hugh Freeze and Philip Montgomery found a way to really use both quarterbacks well. You know, I don't know if he's going to be red zone Robbie, but boy, Robbie Ashford was very effective when Auburn got down deep.
Well, and you know, he had three touchdowns in the first half alone. So that's five touchdowns in his last two games as an Auburn quarterback. He had two in the Alabama game at the end of last year, and three this past weekend, and just looked very in command, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason Campbell, you know, called the first touchdown. He said they're going left. He liked what he saw from Gunnar Britton at left guard, named the SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week. He liked what he saw from Dylan Wade at left tackle. And he called the first touchdown, and it's exactly, and I'm not sure that Robbie was even touched on that 10-yard run.
Didn't look like it.
He used the RPO on the second one, and I I was convinced that he had handed the ball off, and he didn't. And then I thought he showed his athletic ability at its best on his third touchdown going right. I don't know if that was to the short side of the field. I can't remember that or not. But getting to the pylon and diving to the pylon for his third touchdown. I thought Auburn used, I'm with you, Bill. I don't think that Auburn used everything or showed everything from its offense this past weekend. But I thought it showed enough and showed some versatility in what it did show. And Brian Battee looked good. Damari Alston looked good. Jeremiah Cobb with his touchdown run. Sean Jackson. I was glad to see Sean Jackson play a major part in that game with his 64 yards in that 45-yard touchdown run. So I like the way Auburn ran the game. Now, listen, whether Auburn has Jarquez Hunter this Saturday, I don't know at this point. May not know until we get there and see whether he's dressed out for the game on Saturday or not. But with that in mind, I like the way Auburn ran the football without Jarquez this past week. And I thought Peyton Thorne was good. He was 10 of 17, 141 yards and a touchdown. Auburn was minus 11 in turnover margin last year. And I know that there's a lot of those guys that are gone from this ball club right now. But I like the fact that Auburn took advantage of the turnovers that it generated and then didn't turn the ball over at all offensively.
No,
and
you know, you're right.
That'll be an important part this Saturday when the Tigers play at Cal.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. And Peyton was 2 for 5 before he really started. I thought settled down a little bit, looked like he just relaxed a little bit more after a bit. It wasn't really a bumpy start because Auburn scored on their first possession. I mean, they were scoring on just about every possession, but you saw things just seemed to get a little more comfortable with him. Obviously, you know, he's thrown the ball to Jay Fair and Javarius Johnson an awful lot, and those guys caught the majority of the passes again on Saturday.
Yeah, a combined 9 catches between Fair and Johnson and over 100 yards, just over 100 yards. Well, I guess it was 100 yards exactly between those two guys, including the touchdown pass to Fair that was a beautiful. It just unfolded right in front of us.
Softly. It was like a soft, dropped right into his hands.
Really, really thrown well, and Fair made the catch. And those two guys of the 10 completions by Thorne, and Ashford had 2 more, and Holden Gurner had 2 more. Fair and Johnson had 9 of the combined catches this past week. Mm-hmm. Auburn did not use Coy Moore. As a matter of fact, he didn't even dress. So that's a guy that will be added to the mix when he is back for the Tigers. And listen, Auburn didn't show everything. I doubt that Cal showed everything in its win at North Texas. So there will still be some adjustments to be made by both teams when Auburn gets set for its latest ever kickoff of a 9:30 Central time Saturday night.
Yeah, just stay up late and get plenty of sleep there. That's sort of the plan.
It is, and Auburn's going to go out a day early. Mm-hmm. Auburn's going to leave late afternoon on Thursday, get out there pretty late. They'll have an opportunity to practice, I think, at a junior college in the area. On Friday, their walkthrough on Friday, and then get ready for a full day Saturday at the team hotel and head over to Cal Memorial Stadium. They're celebrating their 100th anniversary of playing at Cal Memorial Stadium. So I look forward to this trip. I've never been to Berkeley. I've never been to this campus. So I'm looking forward to what I'm sure is a unique atmosphere for football, a unique atmosphere in college. So
a lot of Auburn fans making the trip.
And I know some folks have driven, some folks have flown. The Auburn equipment truck, which thankfully has our radio equipment on it, we don't have to worry about transporting it, left Sunday at about noon. And I've been watching the progress on social media of those guys.
So you got to make sure that stuff. Yeah, you're right. That better get there in good shape.
They were in Albuquerque this morning, so they were going to make it to California and then head north.
Unless they pull a Bugs Bunny and take the wrong turn there.
That's true. Good point.
Oh, man. Looking forward to it. Hopefully Auburn comes back with their first win in the state of California.
Can you believe that Auburn's never won a game?
It hadn't been that many, though. What has Auburn played, 3 games ever in the state of California?
This will be the third The last being the game at the Rose Bowl, the heartbreaking loss to Florida State in the national championship game. So let's hope we break that string and come back and get Samford with a 2-0 Auburn ball club. But I'm looking forward to it, and we'll have all of our coverage, Bill, on Wings 94.3 starting at 6:30 Central Time.
Looking forward to it. And then, of course, Tiger Talk coming up on Thursday on Wings as well.
Yeah, and just above, but this is going to be a pre-recorded event because
right.
We're going to be in the air literally during Tiger Talk. Guests include Justin Allegri, who's the play-by-play voice for Cal. You'll hear from Auburn cross country coach Aaron Kitt. They won both of their competitions this past week up in Oxford, Alabama. Let's see, who else do we have? We're going to hear from Will Herring. You're also going to hear from Quentin Riggins. On the show on Thursday night on Tiger Talk.
Thanks, Andy. Have a great trip.
My pleasure, Bill. Take care. Have a great day, bud.
All right, back with hour number two. Stick with us.
Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this nice-looking, little warm, but nice Tuesday afternoon. Again, if you weren't with us yesterday, we did have a show on Labor Day. Surprised some of the folks here in the building. Came in and it's like, hey, how was your weekend? Oh, it was good. How about yours? I said, well, fine. Seemed a little short with the ball game Saturday and the show yesterday. Show yesterday? It's like, yeah, we did a show yesterday. But yes, hopefully you had a great Labor Day weekend. And we appreciate you joining in here on the Tuesday Drive. It's Bill and Drew in the studio right now. Dan is checking out football practice. Auburn allowing the media to view a portion of practice again today. Last week they got nearly an hour. Don't know how long. I mean, we're figuring a half an hour. But, I mean, Hugh Freeze has been pretty kind and has let the media watch a little longer as long as, you know, they're sticking with the rules, not videoing any of the team drills or, you know, capturing any of the sound of the you know, signals or anything like that being called. So Dan will be joining me at some point here in hour number two, depending on, you know, when they get through being able to watch some of practice. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, joining me for the final half hour of hour number one, as the Tigers are practicing and getting ready to head west out to Berkeley to take on the University of California late Saturday. I didn't realize that, but it makes sense. The latest kickoff in Auburn football history. 9:30 Central Time will be the kickoff. 7:30 out in Berkeley for Auburn and Cal on Saturday night. Cal and Auburn, both impressive winners in their season openers. Auburn, of course, won 59-14 Saturday over UMass, while Cal won 58-21 was the Cal win at North Texas this past Saturday. Justin Wilcox in his seventh year there with the Golden Bears. And they did that Saturday with their starting quarterback only playing a handful of snaps, left with an upper body injury. Justin Wilcox today said he wouldn't talk about his status for Saturday, but did say that he's running around on the practice field today. So it'll be a Cal team that's feeling pretty good about themselves and the Pac-12 wanting to flex their muscles one last time this season before the conference completely disbands. Cal will be in the ACC starting next year. And they'd love to get a win over Auburn on Saturday night. Auburn about a 6.5-point favorite over Cal this Saturday night. The polls coming out this week, obviously they had to wait until all the ball games finished last night. As we talked about it in hour number one, Duke embarrassing Clemson last night, 28-7, a ball game that was 7-6 Clemson at the half. And then Duke broke it open, really sort of broke their backs with Riley Leonard's spectacular scramble and run for about 45 yards and a touchdown that really put them ahead comfortably, and they went on to win it 28-7. As a result, Clemson hanging in the top 25, barely in the AP. They're number 25 in the coaches poll. They're number 21. So Clemson dropped 16 spots in the coaches poll, 12 spots in the 16 spots in the AP, 12 spots in the coaches poll. We quickly looked at the poll in hour number one. We'll go ahead and run them down now. Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, 1, 2, 3 in both polls. And it is Georgia with a pretty comfortable margin. Michigan and Alabama pretty tight for the number two spot. And then Ohio State is fourth with Florida State 5 in the coaches poll. Flip that in the AP. Florida State with 3 first place votes is a fourth in the AP and Ohio State 5. Georgia got 58 of the first place votes. Florida State was second in first place votes, but Michigan second overall. Michigan had 2 first place votes. Alabama with no first place votes in the AP. They, however, had 2 first place votes in the coaches poll to Michigan's 1, but they were still behind them. Georgia, solid number 1 in both polls. So there are your top 5. The second 5, it is the same 6, 7, 8, 9 with USC, Penn State, Washington, and Tennessee, each 6 through 9. In the coaches poll, Texas is the number 10 team, while Notre Dame is number 10 in the AP, and each team is right behind them. You're really similar. You just have little changes here or there. You have the Florida State, Ohio State, one four, the other 5, depending on the poll. Notre Dame and Texas are 10 or 11, depending on the poll. Then Utah is 12 in both polls, Oregon 13, LSU 14, Kansas State 15. I don't know that this early in the season I've seen the polls be this close. It's almost like I think the AP was out first. Maybe the coaches took a look at the AP poll. I don't know, but, I mean, they're really similar. As I mentioned, Kansas State 15. You've got North Carolina 16 in the coaches poll, followed by Oklahoma, Oregon State, Wisconsin, and Ole Miss to round out the top 20 in the coaches poll. In the AP poll, it's Oregon State 16, North Carolina 17, Oklahoma 18, Wisconsin 19, and Ole Miss 20. So just little shakeups. I mean, just a spot, one or two difference. I think the biggest difference is Oregon State is 2 spots lower in the coaches poll than they are in the AP poll. Then the final 5 in the polls, I mentioned Clemson 21 in the coaches poll, followed by Tulane, Texas A&M, Duke, and Colorado. In the AP poll, it's Duke 21, then Colorado 22, A&M 23, Tulane 24, and Clemson. So the same 25 teams in both polls. Auburn, by the way, is 33rd in the tied for 33rd in the AP. As a matter of fact, tied with Troy for the number of points there. And 37th, I believe, in the other poll. But, you know, that doesn't really matter. It's like, what do they do this Saturday when they head out to Berkeley? We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on this past weekend or some look ahead already toward this coming weekend as we get underway with hour number 2 of The Drive, which is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can join us by calling the Kia of Auburn hotline, Kia of Auburn, where you're always number 1. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390. You can also text us on the Drive text box, brought to you by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And that number is 334-321, 334-564-1840. I just started the old habit of giving you the phone number. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Matt is up first this hour. Hey, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good. I just wanted to give my two cents on the weekend, the Auburn game especially. I think a couple of things to me, although I guess we're playing inferior team, I'm still a little worried about the defensive line against the run. Mm-hmm. And definitely saw what to me was a little bit of a difference in the quality of the throws between starting quarterback, you know, Thorne and Robbie, although Robbie obviously is a better runner. So I do think, you know, that decision is looking good. But I was surprised we didn't throw the tight ends more. I've been hearing about how the tight ends were such a strong group, and we had that one play that didn't work out. But other than that, we didn't target tight ends.
No, you're right. And I think that was that may have been intentional. I don't know that for a fact, but I wouldn't be surprised. Auburn has a couple of weapons that they didn't have to use or show on Saturday. Hey, one thing, too, let me say this about a couple of Robbie's throws. He had one that was called back, remember, there was a completion to Jay Fair, and then he had a couple of back shoulder throws that I didn't think were extremely difficult catches for Caleb Burton to make. So he could have been better than his 2 for 6, but let's face it. I mean, when they get to RPOs, teams are going to start defending RPOs with Robbie in the game as if he's going to keep the ball. So he's going to have to be able to complete some passes. And I think Peyton missed on a couple as well. So hopefully it's just some first game jitters and things like that. But yeah, there are quite a few things that we have seen in practice that they didn't use on Saturday.
So, and everybody says you get better between first game, second game. Mm-hmm. Should be a good thing. And I think obviously that's what we're looking for, but I think it's going to be a tough game this weekend. I think we're going to be.
Oh, I think so too.
I think it's definitely going to be a challenge. We're favored by 6, but it's going to be probably a nail biter. Coffin played well. Is he second string star?
Well, I guess, and boy, Hugh Freeze would bristle a little bit at that because it doesn't really matter who goes out there first. Keontae Scott is you know, there at that spot as well, but they can use Keontae more as a cover guy and Donovan more as the either run support or pass rusher. So they can use both of those guys, and you could see them both on the field at the same time. They worked a lot of the players in the secondary at multiple spots, so they can line them up in little different places. Auburn has, you know, they have you can only list 5 guys as start. Well, I guess you could list more, but if you're going to go with 11 players, you're only going to have 5 guys out there. But they have probably 7 or 8 defensive backs that could be out there. Any of those guys, any 5, maybe 6 of them could be out there at the same time.
Well, I guess you're right. There's just a couple of guys that held out that didn't play that should play this week, and we seem to come out of this game pretty healthy.
Yeah, I think so.
Last comment I'll make, I'll hang up. I do appreciate you taking my call. They're sure hyping the Alabama-Texas game. I personally think Alabama's going to take care of that pretty well. What's your opinion on that?
I've got that same feeling. I mean, Quinn Ewers looked different this past Saturday. He looked smaller. I guess he's lost some weight. Texas won, but I mean, I don't know. I think Texas is so full of their back, and now they're going to pay Alabama back after Ewers going out. It almost seems like Alabama somehow is flying under the radar there at number 3 in the country, and I've sort of got the same feeling.
Thanks, Will.
Appreciate the call, Matt. 334-321-1390. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously it is a huge marquee matchup. And the SEC didn't look too great in its out of conference games either. That's where Auburn needs to play well. And Alabama, you know, I think is feeling like the SEC maybe not getting respected as much. We will see. I mean, Sark knows. He knows what to expect and knows that. I mean, he's not going to go in and be caught by surprise. But, yeah, it's. I think that's going to be an interesting one to watch. But I'd be surprised if Texas just goes in and is able to win, as comfortably as some Horn fans seem to think it's going to happen. 334-321-1390. We'll get to John. Yeah, we'll get to John before we get to our first break here in hour number two. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. I just had a one run this by you. I think I think we're jumping to conclusions saying that Clemson is over and done with. From what I saw the game, Clemson was running the ball at will down their throats and got to the goal line twice and just turned the ball over and then missed two chip shot field goals. I don't think the Lord wanted to win Dabo to win that game for whatever reason, but it looked like to me that Clemson was pretty much still dominating that game, in my opinion.
Well, I thought early on they looked like they were the better team at halftime and early in the third. When things started going against them, it looked like they didn't know what to do. They sure didn't expect anything like that to happen. I wouldn't write Clemson off. It's I think a lot of people have gone ahead and said it's over. I don't know that it's over, but it's getting tougher and tougher for Clemson to maintain. Especially with Dabo not wanting to really buy into the transfer portal and not being a fan of NIL. I know they can't not do that, but that doesn't help.
I'm with Dabo 100% on where his stance is, but it's probably not helpful for your football program in this day and age with
with it. No, you're right about that.
Yeah, but one other thing, the targeting call that How was that a dead ball foul when it happened during the play?
I have never seen that call that way. I mean, I understand their point, but I've never seen it called that way before.
Do we know if that was a blown call or not?
Well, I think technically it wasn't, because when the quarterback's knee touches, the play is supposed to be dead. But I've never seen – I mean, you've seen plenty of targeting when a quarterback's gone into a slide. I've never seen it called – dead ball before last night. Somebody can correct me, but I thought that was huge, absolutely huge last night. That Duke, I mean, I expected him to go in and say, yes, it was targeting and it would be first down. I was really surprised when they said first down Duke and the targeting stands.
Yeah, when you have transfer players playing at Duke that came from Miami University, we're living in a brave new world.
You're not kidding.
And yeah, so Auburn's favored by 6.5.
That's what I see. Yep.
That's astounding to me. I would have thought it would have been the other way around, them playing on the road that far away from home. But I would love for us to see us go out there and come away with a victory. That'd be awesome to start the year out 2-0.
You're not kidding. I don't care how pretty it is. Doesn't matter. Just come back with a win.
All right. I appreciate your time. Y'all have a good afternoon. Thank you.
Appreciate it, John. We need to get to our first break here of hour number two. Greg, hold on. You're up when we come back. Here on the Tuesday Drive.
It's been from the
later than they originally slated. So I just got out of the practice facility with the rest of the beat in the last 10, 15 minutes or so. They gave us some extra time on the back end. Looks like a lot of the players that we were, I mean, pretty much everyone, you know, that we were curious about from an injury standpoint was at least working today and trying to work their way back. McLeod, Mardner, Coy Moore, who we forgot to talk about
in the first Andy hour. Yeah, Andy mentioned him.
Coy Moore was also he was out there active in practice, shorter. So, I mean, it looks like Auburn is going in at full strength as far as I can tell, but some of those guys looked like they were also yeah, they might be taking it a little bit easy.
Yeah, the one guy that I saw, I believe either Brian or Caleb posted that Austin Keys wasn't out there. So linebacker is that one place where Auburn's a little thin already. So that may be something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. And I mean, with I did not get over to the running backs to get an eye on Jarquez. I thought I saw Jarquez.
Yeah, it's multiple places are reporting he was running with the first group.
Yeah, that's okay. So I thought I saw Jarquez when I first got out there, but I was looking at some other stuff as well. And by the end of it, I was like, oh, was there? So yeah. I mean, I thought that we were going to see. We saw Jarquez last week.
Yeah.
So I don't know if practicing today is a clue about his.
That just means whenever he is available, he's the first guy.
Right. So I don't want people to overreact necessarily to whether or not Jarquez was there today. But yeah, I mean, it seems like he's preparing to be out there at some point. Whether or not that's this Saturday remains to be seen. But no, I thought positive news, at least with regards to the injured players and whether or not they're going to be able to contribute this Saturday. We'll see who can actually break through from Tuesday to Saturday. But at the moment, it feels like all those guys are taking steps.
Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Greg has been hanging on for a little bit. Hey, Greg.
Hey, bud. How y'all doing today?
Doing good.
I tell you, it's been pleasant. It's pleasant to watch a team that looks like the coaches have been doing a little better. You can tell, listen to Hugh Freeze, he don't give nobody a pass. I mean, he's pretty nice old, pretty nice fella, I guess you'd say. But he's taking this opportunity right here, and he's not going to take it for granted. Obviously, he's not giving anybody a pass. And I like to kind of, it's a pleasant surprise for me to see the way he conducts it. He made a comment about his coaches and talking about the coaches' meet. Probably wasn't one of the best, pleasant meet that it could be. But, that's what it's got to be. You can't, you got to be hungry. You got to stay hungry and get after them pretty good. And you can tell, as long as these guys keep buying in and believing that, you can have a good football team. We'll see how long that takes or lasts. And you got to look over it like Nick Saban. I mean, I'm an Auburn fan all day, but what Nick Saban done in Alabama is, I don't know if we'll ever see that again. I mean, maybe
no,
Kirby
no, you
Martin
can't. You
Georgia,
can't expect. But, you're right. You can't expect to see that anywhere.
I mean, it's tiring. I mean, it's relentless. But it also helps when you got the players. It makes things a lot easier for you. But I just want to chime in on that, and I remember you said something about that the call last night in the Clemson game. I ain't never seen that. It was targeting just because
his knee
was down. But, it kind of blowed my mind. There's a lot of missed opportunities. There's a lot of sloppy ball.
You see a lot of that. Weekend. Yeah, you'll see a lot of that in the first game. Appreciate it, Greg. We got to move on, and Bama Dog is up next. Hey, Bama Dog.
Hey, what's going on, my man?
Hey, man. Glad the football season is here, aren't you?
Wow, absolutely. Can't wait. Hey, what the happened to these talking heads on television? McElroy, I heard McElroy say today he had no problems with Florida State number one.
Yeah, I heard that. Well, I mean, they had as impressive a win because they were playing another team that people feel like is a top 10 team and handled them the way they did in the second half. Greg has always been one that, hey, you – next week, if another team plays well, he'd put them there. He's not one that wants to put somebody projecting at the end of the season. He's just talking about right now. And that's hard to argue.
Yeah, I guess so. But, I've been thinking about this Bama thing and the commentators when it comes to Bama and last season or whatever. So TCU goes out, get beat by Colorado. I never thought they should have been in that national championship game last year. I never thought that. I caught a lot of heat for that. But I guess some of that's still coming to fruition now.
Yeah, it is what it is with a four-team. When you got a four-team field, only four can get in. The fifth-best team may be better than a couple of those teams in the Final Four. That's one thing that when you get to 12, there's not going to be any undeserving teams that play in the title game, I wouldn't think.
I wouldn't think either. Yeah, that's going to help. I heard another talking head said Texas is going to beat Alabama by 14 points at home.
Yeah, dream
on. Wondering what he was drinking. Pine Bomb and what's the other guy from CBS? Brando.
Oh, yeah.
And Jumper don't save him because he won't release a dip. That man don't owe y'all anything.
Well, I mean, you can always he can release one like he did last year where it's or, so what's the matter? I mean, you can only play 11 at a time. Just keep up with it. That's the way I feel about
it. Exactly. Yeah, so, again, that's all I had on my soapbox today. Good to hear your voice again, Bill. Bill.
Good to hear from you, Bama Dog, y'all. Man. Take care.
Good luck.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Dan. Yeah, okay. Dan, I think, is on his way in. We've got Jake Crane coming up, man. A busy Tuesday edition of The Drive. Jake will be joining the show when we come back for the final half hour here on the Tuesday Drive.
ESPN 1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final half hour of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Drew here in the studio. Dan's been over checking out football practice as the media had a viewing window, as the Tigers get ready to travel out to the West Coast to take on Cal this late Saturday night. Right now, though, we're going to get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. Welcome in our regular Tuesday afternoon guest, and that is Jake Crane of Crane & Company. Hey, Jake, how you doing today, man?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I got you now.
There we go. It's kind of breaking in and out, man. How y'all doing? 1-0.
Yeah.
1-0, right?
That's what matters the most. I mean, hey, it's fun when you have the largest crowd ever, a nice wide out, and you win by 45 points. But, yeah, 1-0 is the main thing that matters right now.
Yeah, and look, I mean, UMass had a game under their belt. We saw what they did against New Mexico State. Just after watching the game offensively, it's nice to see a unit that has an identity, you know, that knows kind of who they are. You know, I thought the versatility and the play calling didn't have to be crazy, and it wasn't, but the system was similar to what I thought. You know, we talked about all offseason, Bill, coming on here, that there was going to be a package for Robbie Ashford when they got in the red zone and in short yardage, and sure enough, it's the smart move. I expect to continue to see it. I am worried, and Hugh Freeze came out and said it. I noticed it during the game. Auburn was not lining up right on defense in the front seven. Mm-hmm. There was multiple times where they were a gap short up front, and they better fix that before they go to Cal, because Cal's got their offensive line isn't great, but they know who they are, and that Ott kid at running back's a really good player.
Yes, he is. I mean, and then Hugh Freeze just raved about his ability, and you know, he's big, he's strong, he's fast, and Auburn, yes, was out of place a few times, and didn't look like apparently Austin Keys didn't practice today. I didn't think he had a great game before he got banged up on Saturday. Auburn's linebackers have to play better, the defensive front and the linebackers. That front seven, we knew what Auburn had in the back end. Defensively, those guys up front have to play better. Auburn struggled against the run down the, you know, all last year, and early on it was a big problem. Yes, they did better. Part of that, though, had to do with the fact that Auburn jumped out to a lead, and UMass really couldn't just continue to try to run the ball.
Yeah, well, when you line up wrong and then the head coach says you struggle to get off blocks, you're going to be bad. Just be bad at one of those. Don't be bad at both of those. And, you know, when it comes to the linebacker play, the defensive line is supposed to help the linebackers out. And when you line up a gap short, you crowd everything for the linebackers. That's why it seemed like early on Auburn's linebackers were having to guess, and they were having to guess because if they didn't guess, then they were never going to be able to get there. So that's some they may simplify it a little bit going into this week. They tried to throw a decent amount of looks at them. But, you know, looking on the offensive side, I mean, Auburn, to me, that's the first time in a long time I've watched Auburn on offense and been like, okay, we know what we're doing, and we have players in different spots that can do it. The Jay Fair kid is as explosive as what we thought. But the two biggest things, Bill, and we talked about this. One, Peyton Thorne runs well enough to run this offense. He does run well enough. He's not a blazer by any stretch of the imagination, but he's not Jared Stidham or Chris Todd, even though I love both those guys. They did a lot for Auburn. He can run well enough to do it. And the second thing is, I thought, even though he made a couple misreads on the RPO, I thought the timing with the wide receivers was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Whether it was the back shoulder, whether it was letting guys get across the middle, I thought that chemistry that takes the longest to build up was actually there early and often, which is two really good signs for Auburn. I like the Peyton Thorne kid, man. I like him a lot.
Yeah, and as we've told a lot of folks, you know, a lot of callers are wondering, well, where are the tight ends? Where are some of the things we heard about? And it's like, well, there wasn't a need to show everything that you had on Saturday.
No, Auburn gave them peanut butter and jelly. I mean, that was old-fashioned, hey, we're going to RPO. We're not going to be super crazy in our combinations. We'll spit out the bubble when we have to spit it. Auburn was able to score a lot without showing a lot. And typically there's two trains of thought, right, when you go into the first game, especially when you're playing an opponent you're better than and you've got a decent matchup the next week. The first train of thought is you go show a lot formationally to make them have to work on a lot, right? You don't give them the steak and mashed potatoes. You give them just a little bit of appetizers here and there where they don't truly know you, but they got to prepare for a lot. Then you have the other train of thought is you don't really show them a lot outside of base stuff, and you have counters built off that base stuff. Cal's going to look at that film and say, all right, here's Auburn's base. Here's what they do. Here's the target rate. Here's who they want to get the ball to. You don't have a ton of tendencies yet. We know what they're going to do in the red zone with Ashford, but Auburn's going to have counters built off of that. So they know what the other team's looking at. They'll have answers for it. And Hugh Freeze and Phil Montgomery together, man, I like that combination. It's like my grandmother and my wife in the kitchen during Thanksgiving. Something good's coming out of that.
Yeah, I like that. I can actually smell what you're cooking there. That's
exactly right.
The Pac-12, they're on their last legs, but, man, they look pretty strong. Those legs look pretty strong right now, at least here after 1 week.
Well, yeah, you know, they didn't play exactly, you know, a mountain of tough opponents. I mean,
no, they didn't. I'll tell you what, though, Cal doing what they did, how they did it.
Cal surprised me. I thought North Texas actually would have a shot as a dog to win that game. Washington turned it on. The faucet opened against Boise State as well. And, look, Coastal Carolina, that isn't a walk in the park either for UCLA, you know, with his new clock rules, the way Chip run stuff with a new quarterback. I mean, I think, you know, the Moore kid at the end really stole the show. I'm interested to see him the rest of the way. But, you know, what a way to dig the knife in deeper than to have your best year as a conference, your right. last year as a conference. It's like the greatest irony in all of sports.
Well, you see why all those other conferences wanted those teams, right? After seeing those
Yeah, Pac-12s. Somebody better get Oregon State. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder how long it'll be before the other two. So let's go to the other side of it, because so many, I mean, every program, almost every program goes into, oh, by the way, how you doing, Jake? Good to see you.
Hey, what's up,
Dan? So many programs are optimistic all off season long, and, you know, a couple of places.
Because I was going to ask, what was the worst loss?
Yeah, like who's this weekend? Who's the most disappointed in their performance? Like, I guess relative to what they thought they would see this year, what they were hoping to see, who's the most disappointed?
There's some serious candidates.
And you can,
for this.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go through the nominees, you can before picking a winner.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, obviously, you look at LSU kind of getting punked physically, the way they got punked, you know, in that second half. That's very disheartening. You know, TCU, if you've watched Sonny Dykes, I mean, going back to SMU, this is who Sonny Dykes is. You know, they won 9 games last year by one possession or fewer. They score a lot of points and they give up a lot of points. I thought Sean Lewis, the OC for Colorado, had such a great plan. Then TCU, because they were getting the ball out so quick, decided they were just going to rush 3, and Shador sat back there for an average of 4.1 seconds, which you're going to get torched by any quarterback that's worth his salt if you let wide receivers run around that long and you don't touch the guy. But hats off to Colorado. To me, though, the two most disappointing, one has to be Baylor. I mean, look, we watched T.J. Finley play, and I love the Coach Kenny guy who came over from Incarnate Word. I think the guy can really coach ball. But Baylor, you talk about blown coverages, guys running wide open, just looked like they weren't prepared, which is shocking with the Dave Aranda defense. You know, all of a sudden, Dave Aranda's not the golden child anymore as he was a couple years ago over at Baylor. So you got to be disappointed if you're a Baylor fan. But if you're a South Carolina fan, you know, I caught a lot of heat for predicting South Carolina to go 5-7 because they were going to be awful up front. Like, the fact that this shocked anybody shocks me. Look at who they brought in on the offensive line. Everybody kept talking about, oh, Spencer Rattler this, Spencer Rattler that. Well, guess what? Football is not baseball, basketball, or golf. One guy can't go out there and play really good while everybody else doesn't play good and win the game. South Carolina gave up 9 sacks to a North Carolina team, and I know it's a new year, that had 17 sacks all of last season.
Yep.
You gave up 9, a 9-piece. And it's not going to get any easier I'm telling you what, they're non-conference. Furman's not a walk in the park. Jacksonville State's not a walk in the park. And you get Clemson, who I know absolutely blew it last night, but they're a whole heck of a lot better than what I saw from South Carolina. So I would say Baylor and South Carolina.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Clemson, because I think that would be, after the performance last night, they would be on a lot of lists. And I know it was Thursday. Florida, also a strong.
That's not a shock, though, to a lot of folks.
Yeah, I mean, I think Florida fans could kind of feel that coming. I had Florida going 3-9 before the year, and I mean, I don't feel any different.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, it was the way Florida looked, right? It was the ineptitude and some of the mental mistakes, because you'd think, like, okay, maybe they're at a talent disadvantage in their toughest games this year, but, you know, you're not expecting to see two guys with the same number on the punt return unit at the same time, mm-hmm. after forced Utah to punt. And you give them a free first down that way. You don't expect stuff like that to be happening in the opener. And,
no.
Yeah, couple places. But I thought you had some good choices there, Jake.
Yeah, I mean, the Florida game, I mean, a lot of it was self-inflicted wounds. And what's crazy is I thought Graham Mertz played a lot better than I thought he was going to play. I thought he kept him in the game. They couldn't run the ball. They were one-dimensional and shooting themselves in the foot. That's not a great way to go through life. I mean, you can go back to the first drive. Florida gets the ball, run a speed sweep on second down and get it in the third and one, and then you fall start. Now you're in third and six. Then you punt it. When's the best time to throw it deep? I don't know. Maybe the first play of the season with your third-string quarterback. Maybe that's the best time to throw it deep. But, I think Florida fans at least kind of knew a loss was most likely coming, but what makes you sick is how you lost it, because you had to go down there and play clean. If you'd have went down there and played clean, that's a one-score game, and who knows?
G.J. Kinney, you mentioned him earlier, Texas State's coach, formerly at Incarnate Word. He's a former Gus Malzahn quarterback at Tulsa and was Gus's was Gus's quarterback's coach at UCF a couple of years ago as well. That's a guy from the tree.
I tell you what's crazy. I mean, look, if you can turn T.J. Finley into a guy that's going to go on the road and have seven, you know, A-dot passes according to PFF, then I need you to, you know, when did you get Biff's almanac is the question I'm asking. But now I'm looking at that old Auburn quarterback room. I mean, Bo Nix, T.J. Finley. I mean, look at the guys I got now. It was Brian Harsin. I mean, after all, look, we figured it out.
I didn't watch the game. I think Calzada played pretty well at Incarnate Word on Saturday.
He
as well.
Probably did. He probably threw for 600 yards, man.
that would hold the trend. Speaking of offenses that originate out of Texas, you're familiar with Jake Spavital. He was North Texas's coach he's Texas State's coach for a couple of years. Also, a guy with some ties to the. I'm trying to remember exactly where Spavital factors in, but I think he's also in the tree somewhere as well. But this is a guy who has been was his first job with Gus maybe as well. But what can you tell
it
us about?
It may have been probably.
What can you tell us about the offense Cal's running and what you know about Cal's new offensive coordinator?
Well, you know, they were pretty balanced last week. I know Spav, he's a quarterback. He wants to throw it around. I think he wants to go at a fast pace, but the game kind of dictated they were dominating on the ground, which led to a play-action game. I mean, you're going to get a ton of quick game from them. You got to be able to tackle in space. But look, this game's going to come down to who can stop the run. If Auburn can make Cal one-dimensional, they'll be able to get after him. If Cal's got the whole Waffle House menu to operate, Spavital will find ways to hit big plays within the scheme that you're running. If it's me, I think what you're going to see from Auburn is a simplified version on first and second down, and they're probably going to heat them up a little bit on third down. They played both quarterbacks. If you go look, Spavital's route tree, it isn't some new invented, you know, incredible combination booklet that you're running stuff nobody's ever seen before. A lot of it is the normal stuff you see. But what makes him dangerous is, he pitches backwards a lot, right? You get a lot of play action on first down. They'll substitute pass for the run to get into second and four. So it's kind of hard to corner him. You know, Justin Wilcox is defensively, they're not overcomplicated. They're kind of the same way offensively. They're good at what they do. They know who they are. But just like most offenses, they have to be somewhat balanced. They need to be able to have that play action to be able to sell it to take their shots downfield. So if Auburn's able to stop the run and get them in predictable downs, I don't know if Cal can stop Auburn's run. I don't know if they can.
Spavital has been the quarterback's coach for Dana Holgorsen, Tony Franklin. And he was Johnny Manziel's quarterbacks coach in 2013 with Texas A&M Aggies under Kevin Sumlin.
I bet that was his, you mean his babysitter? Tell me what you told Johnny.
How about this? His first job in college football was on the 2008 Tulsa Golden Hurricane as the quality control coach for Gus Malzahn, who was the offensive coordinator there. So Spavital's first job was
there
working for Gus Malzahn. We're just talking about G.J. Kinney.
Right.
He was the quarterback of that 2008 Tulsa team. Now he's the head coach at Texas State. The offensive coordinator, Cal, Auburn's opponent on Saturday, he was quality control in that room back in 2008 for Gus Malzahn at Tulsa. Amazing how small the world can be sometimes, Jake.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you coach long enough, that tree's going to keep growing branches that grow branches that grow branches. So, it's a business where, you know, it's beautiful because when you get in, it's on you to stay in. And, look, I mean, you learn from some of the best, you end up being pretty good. It's like working for Guy Fieri as a sous chef.
Jake, before we run out of time, a game or two that you're really looking forward to this week?
Oh, well, look, Bama, Texas, obviously. You got to find out. We don't know yet. Yep. We're going to find out on Saturday. Let's see if Milroe can make the throws in tight coverage. Let's see if Quinn Ewers let's see if a Texas quarterback can make it through a four-quarter game against Bama first. But that one should be a great one. A&M, Miami, I think both these teams looked a lot cleaner, a lot more inept on offense. I know they weren't exactly going against a steel curtain on defense, but I'm interested to see that game. And then I'm telling you guys, don't be surprised if Texas Tech beats Oregon. Don't be surprised at all. I'm just telling you, they went out there, got up 17-0 on Wyoming, thought the game was over. Wyoming snuck back, won it in two overtimes. Texas Tech's good. They're going to be upset. Their quarterback's an Oregon transfer, and Oregon, you know, played the little Giants this past weekend and absolutely smushed them, so they haven't been through any adversity as a team yet. It's going to be crazy out there in Lubbock.
You like that new Texas Tech staff. You've mentioned them a couple times this offseason.
I do, man. I like them. I know they lost at Wyoming. It's tough. But the last thing Oregon wanted was Texas Tech to go out there and lose to Wyoming. That's the last thing they wanted to have happen. They wanted them to go out there and beat Wyoming by 50.
Great stuff as always, Jake. What you got coming up? And tell folks how they can check it out.
Oh man, oh, we're so deep in football right now. If you like college football or the NFL, I think we're like 100 subs away from 100,000 on YouTube. Go over to Crane and go over to YouTube. It's Crane and Company, C-R-A-I-N-N Company. We're talking Auburn, previewing all the games, making bets, talking NFL that kicks off this week. We got live calls and a live chat. The show's live from 6:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. Central Time, stays on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Daily Wire, all that stuff. Go check it out.
Thanks, man. Have a great week.
Y'all be good.
Jake Crane joining us as he does Tuesday afternoons.
Great stuff, Jake.
Always. We'll get to our final break, get some thoughts from Dan as we wind things down here on the Tuesday Drive.
At Dixie Electric Plumbing and
AU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Final few minutes of the Tuesday drive with Bill and Dan now in the studio. Dan, with the opportunity to watch some of the practice, really nice of of Auburn to allow that. I mean, there's not a ton you can get out of it, but you do get an idea of, some of the guys that were banged up last week, and it looks like most of the guys who did not play Saturday, probably, I would guess that had it been a big conference game or a big ball game, they could have played, but Auburn able to hold them out and get them a little healthier getting ready for the road trip to Cal.
Yeah, hopefully everybody who Auburn wants in the game and contributing is able to go this Saturday, and whether that's disciplinary or health. The players who weren't active weren't active this past weekend. Hopefully, they can be called upon against Cal, because I get the feeling Auburn. I mean, it's all hands on deck this Saturday. Auburn.
They're going to need them all. I mean, Cal threw for over 300 yards. You'd think you really would like to have Nehemiah Pritchett and Jalen McLeod out there against the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a chance Auburn wins this game convincingly and cruises. But I would hope people aren't thinking, well, Cal hasn't been very successful these last couple of years.
Has Auburn?
It's an excellent point. So Cal will be able to. No, I think this is a this. I'm expecting this game to be close in the fourth quarter. Like, that's where I am right now on Auburn Cal.
It's hard. It's hard not to think that it's going to be close. Just so many things. And again, I don't think you can underestimate having to play a game at 9:30 at night. I mean, just going out there and having it be that much later. And I know, yes, these are young guys who are used to being up at that time, but it's different from being up and having fun, doing whatever, as opposed to playing football until after midnight.
You wear the target as an SEC team when you go on the road to these other teams in college football, too. Absolutely, Cal would want nothing more than to be able to say, you know, an SEC team.
To be heading to the ACC with that feather in their cap.
Everyone talks about the SEC as the gold standard, and we beat one of their programs when they came to our house. Cal would love it. It's not unlike – not the same thing, but it's like when a group of five program is coming to play you as an out-of-conference game. It's like it would make their season to win this game. It would be one of the biggest wins of the Wilcox era. Despite Auburn's relative lack of success these last couple of seasons, it would be one of the biggest wins of the Wilcox era if he can beat Auburn this Saturday. And Auburn needs to be ready for Auburn needs to be ready for war.
Fun show today. Our thanks to Andy Burcham joining in hour number one, Jake Crane here in hour number two, all of our callers, of course, as well. Jason Caldwell should be joining us tomorrow right at the top of the show. Looking forward to that. But we're out of time here on the Tuesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.